Hi there, and welcome to the Witches episode of StudyClicks Explains, where StudyClicks expert teacher Peter Tobin brings you through everything you need to know about the Weird Sisters and their role in Macbeth. Peter Tobin is an English teacher who has a YouTube channel called Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, where you can find a whole bunch of free videos covering different parts of the Leaving Cert English course. He also has things like downloadable worksheets and note grids, so it's well worth checking him out and subscribing to his channel to get updates on new content that he's making. In this Witches episode, you'll learn about the importance of their role in the play, as well as some interesting history on people's beliefs about witches during Shakespeare's time, which will help you form more critical analysis in your essays. The next voice you're going to hear is Peter's. Enjoy listening.
This time we're going to be looking at the witches. Now, if you want to hit the high marks in your exam, you're going to have to offer something a little bit different in your interpretation of the witches. We're going to start first, though, by looking at the basics. The presence of the three witches in Macbeth is probably one of the most talked about elements of the play. Their importance is immediately clear, as they are the very first thing that the audience sees, appearing on stage in Act 1, Scene 1 to set the tone for the rest of the play. Now, while it's true that belief in witches in Shakespeare's time was relatively common, it wasn't necessarily widespread, and there would have been large amounts of scepticism from some members of the audience about what it was that they were watching. One of the most common reasons given for Shakespeare's inclusion of the witches in his play is in order to please the new king, King James I. King James I was very much interested in witchcraft, and he even published a book on the subject in 1597 called Demonology. He had a great desire to spread knowledge and fear of witches and witchcraft, something that was probably more popular in Scotland than it was in England by the time King James I came to the English throne, and some of it seems to have come from his personal experience as well. In 1589, King James was due to marry Queen Anne of Denmark. On her voyage across the North Sea to meet her new husband, Queen Anne's ship was hit by severe storms that nearly cost her life. Prevented from sailing further, she returned to Denmark. James decided to sail to Denmark himself to collect her in person, and on their return voyage to Scotland, their ships were once again hit by severe storms that almost killed both of them. James was convinced it was the result of witchcraft, and upon returning to Scotland, he had no fewer than 70 witches from the coastal town of North Berwick rounded up, interrogated, and tortured until many of them confessed that they were witches and that they had been responsible for the storms. They were all executed. King James had all of this published in a pamphlet with all the gory details included so that he could spread fear of witches around Scotland and beyond. It is of little surprise then that Macbeth, set in Scotland, uses witches both to inspire a sense of curiosity and potentially fear in the audience, as well as play up to the king's interests in the subject. There are also some other interpretations of the witches, however, that are interesting in the context of the rest of the play. Witches in the Elizabethan and Jacobean eras were, by and large, old women. Banquo, upon first seeing the witches, says that their beards forbid him from believing that they are female. They are similarly described throughout the play as hags or withered and wild. One of the other descriptions is, however, weird sisters. While the stage directions refer to them as witches, within the play itself, they are most often referred to as the weird sisters or weird women. And actually, only once as witches in the dialogue itself. The meaning of weird here isn't really similar to the way that we would use the word to describe something, such as something strange or peculiar. But instead, the word weird refers to the idea of destiny. So then, the weird sisters could in fact be the goddesses of destiny, implying that they can in some way control destiny or fate. In this light, the witches take on a different role. Rather than simply being there to impress King James I or to frighten the audience, they may have a more complex and far-reaching role. They are clearly evil, but their influence and reach is felt far and wide throughout the play. They are more than simply agents of darkness to set the tone, but rather their presence infects the rest of the play as even the characters begin to take on their speech patterns and mimic their word choices. The witches' talk of a battle lost and won is heard again when Duncan is speaking in the following scene and says, "What he hath lost, noble Macbeth had won," referring to the Thane of Cawdor. The witch's couplet, "Fair is foul and foul is fair," is echoed closely by Macbeth in his very first words, "So foul and fair a day I have not seen." We even see this focus on oppositions, which we can also call antithesis, in Macbeth's first extended soliloquy when he says, "This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill, cannot be good. Nothing is but what it's not." Later in the play, the repetition, opposition, and the witch's rhyming couplets are heard in Lady Macbeth's own words in Act 3, Scene 2, when she says, "Naught had all spent, where our desire is got without content. 'Tis safer to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy." The same meter is used here as when the witches say, "Fair is foul and foul is fair." Now, there are some interpretations of Macbeth that suggest that Lady Macbeth is perhaps a fourth witch. There are indeed some things that suggest that this may be the case. In Act 1, Scene 5, Lady Macbeth calls on the powers of darkness to take her over, to make thick my blood and stop up the access and passage to remorse. One belief about witches at this time was that their blood was thick and slow moving. This in turn made their skin hard, like armour, and this made them difficult to kill. By calling on the spirits to do something similar with her own blood, Lady Macbeth can be seen to be one of the witches, or at least aligned or matched with evil. Despite all of this, however, we also have to question what it is that Shakespeare is trying to show us. We can say that the witches are there to appeal to King James I, and we can also say that their influence is felt throughout the play and has a knock-on effect on many different characters. But one of the central questions that still gets asked today is this: who is to blame? Would Macbeth have done what he did if he had never met the witches? If we consider Shakespeare's use of the word weird to mean fateful or controlling destiny, then we could look at the witches as agents of destiny, and in that case, perhaps Macbeth was destined to follow this path to become a tragic figure, no matter what happened. There is also, however, a suggestion that the witch's power is limited. In a reference to King James's own personal experience in Act 1, Scene 3, the line, "And though his bark cannot be lost, yet it shall be tempest-tossed," tells us that the witches have power over certain things, but not over life and death. And as such, they are only suggesting these things to Macbeth, and that it is Macbeth himself who is personally responsible for his actions.
That concludes Peter's analysis on the witches. We hope this helped you gain a deeper understanding of them and equipped you with ideas and phrases that you can use in your essays. Once again, if you enjoyed this episode and you found it helpful, we would really encourage you to check out Peter's YouTube channel, Mr. Tobin Leaving Cert English, which is linked in this episode's description. Trust us when we say this is an incredible free resource for 5th and 6th year students. And we hope you stay tuned for more content like this.